There's no pathway forward that I can see, so the president believes he has his power. Seems to me the only way left is for him to exercise that authority.
The U.S. government partial shutdown continues. It's Monday, January 14th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Hello and welcome. You'll find us on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also ahead, effects of the shutdown are growing by the day. Hawaii deals with the effects of lava. Beautiful ice sculptures in China, a grammar guru, and tech for survival. It's all on today's VOA Asia. It's now more than 3 weeks into the partial government shutdown as hundreds of thousands of federal employees are directly affected by the political battle. Senior Republican Senator Lindsey Graham from South Carolina has all but given up efforts to negotiate a compromise to end the U.S. government shutdown that would fund a U.S.-Mexico border wall and extend legal protections to thousands of young undocumented immigrants and those who have lost temporary protected status. VOA's Brian Patton reports.
As late as Wednesday, Republican South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham expressed hope that a bipartisan bargain could be reached to end the government shutdown.
There's a deal to be had. It's always been there. I think I've been boring y'all for about a month of how this movie ends. It's got to be wall plus something else.
By Thursday, Graham admitted a legislative resolution was likely out of reach, and President Donald Trump may soon invoke emergency powers to build the wall on the U.S.-Mexican border without congressional approval.
There's no pathway forward that I can see, so the president believes he has his power. Seems to me the only way left is for him to exercise that authority. I don't see any action in the Congress.
Graham's proposal would have allocated $5.7 billion for Trump's southern border wall and also granted legal status to thousands of undocumented immigrants who came to the U.S. as young children and for individuals no longer protected by temporary protected status, which gave them legal status in the face of natural disasters and armed conflicts at home. Trump administration attempts to terminate and restrict both programs have been met by legal challenges, which may be taken up soon by the Supreme Court. Efforts last year to pass a bipartisan immigration compromise failed in the Senate. After Democrats took control of the House of Representatives this month, the sharp political divide in Washington has only deepened. Many Democrats don't want to link support for legal status for young immigrants known as Dreamers, a position in public opinion polls many Americans support, to funding the border wall, which remains a highly controversial issue.
It doesn't make any sense at all to trade something that absolutely can and should be done for good policy and moral reasons for something that absolutely should not be done for policy or moral reasons.
And some hardline anti-immigration groups view the wall as more symbolic than essential to significantly restrict illegal immigration.
A wall is not the most important enforcement procedure, and it's also not the thing we want most in terms of immigration reform.
We have our military now on the border.
Some Democrats believe the president doesn't want a deal and would rather keep immigration and border security as divisive issues to energize his core supporters in the 2020 election. Brian Patton, VOA News, Washington.
As the stalemate drags on, military veterans find themselves in the crosshairs of the shutdown. According to the latest government data, veterans make up about a third of the federal government's civilian workforce. VOA Pentagon correspondent Carla Babb spent time with one veteran's family to see how they are coping without a paycheck.
It seems like a typical morning in the HomeQuest household. The kids pack their lunches, Carrie HomeQuest makes her morning coffee, and then it's off to school. But there's one major difference. Tyler HomeQuest, who works for U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, is still here. He's one of the hundreds of thousands of federal workers furloughed in the government shutdown, unable to work or collect pay.
You just start making adjustments. You start cutting, eating out, try to make less trips to town, save on gas.
HomeQuest is a veteran, just like one of every three federal workers.
My dad.
He spent 24 years in the Marine Corps, continuing a family legacy of fighters.
And then behind you is my great-grandpa.
That dates back to World War I, and he views his job in the Department of Homeland Security as a continuation of his service.
Support and defend the Constitution, support and defend the nation, something a Marine could easily get behind.
Carrie has been out of the workforce for years, opting to stay home to care for the kids during Tyler's military deployments and the many family moves. But that soon could change.
Actually, I may be applying for jobs because, well, we don't know how long this is going to last.
Holmquist's employer, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, is at the center of the political impasse fueling the furloughs.
You know what? A lot of the people that we're talking about in terms of pay, they agree with me.
You're those people he's referring to.
Right. I very much support a wall or barrier and better security. On the other hand, I'm starting to wake up at night and be stressed because we're not getting a paycheck.
They're hoping elected leaders will quickly do their jobs so Tyler can get back to his. Carla Babb, VOA News, Fredericksburg, Virginia.
These are among some of the top Asia stories that you'll find if you visit voanews.com right now. Trudeau to China, respect diplomatic immunity of detained Canadians. F-35s unlikely, Taiwan upgrades F-16 fighters to counter China. IOC marketing chair from Japan investigated for alleged corruption. North Korea human rights remain dire after a year of work. China broadcasts spacecraft pictures from Moon's far side. You'll find expanded coverage of these stories with video, pictures, and a lot more information when you visit Facebook at VOA Asia or our voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. U.S. President Donald Trump visited the border with Mexico late last week to reiterate his demand for wall funding. And without opposition Democrats' support, Trump signaled he might soon declare a national emergency. White House correspondent Patty Whitaker-Suara reports.
President Donald Trump went to the Texas-Mexico border to make his case for a wall.
A caravan's forming right now in Honduras. It's supposed to be bigger than the other caravans. We will handle that as it comes up. If we had a wall, we wouldn't have any problems. But we don't, so we will handle it.
President Trump met with officials and families who described the crime, drugs, and human trafficking crisis at the border, a crisis which Democrats accused Trump of manufacturing to get the $5.7 billion funding for the wall. The fight has caused the government to partially shut down for 3 weeks. Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi urges Republicans to pass the bill to reopen government.
It's just to go recap in terms of the soap opera that the president's petulance and obstinance is creating. We all support border security.
The president threatened to declare a national emergency to sidestep Democrats in Congress, even if it means a legal challenge.
We can declare a national emergency. We shouldn't have to, because this is just common sense.
There is so much at stake politically, it's hard to see a way out, says Stephen Billett from the George Washington University.
This is a critical component in his reelection effort. It was a critical component in his 2016 election. Immigration and border security were the issue for him. And he's going to ride that issue as long as he has to.
Meanwhile, in Washington, several hundred people protested against the closing of the government. Many were furloughed federal workers living without paychecks during the shutdown, now just a few days away from being the longest in history. Patsy Widakuswara, VOA News at the White House.
The 800,000 federal workers who are not being paid or who are working without pay during the partial government shutdown were the first to feel its impact. But as VOA Asia's Anna Cook reports, there are other segments of the economy that are also being hurt, especially here in Washington, D.C.
As a partial government shutdown continues, businesses from local restaurants to rideshare drivers in Washington are feeling the hit.
Trying to work to make a little extra money to make a living for myself, you know, it's pretty tough.
No customers coming here. We cannot pay our rent, we cannot pay salary. It's too much.
The prolonged shutdown only has negative effects on the economy and businesses across the nation, says Sam Berger, who was a policy advisor during the 2013 shutdown.
I think according to the White House, it's like $2.5 billion a week. And I think it's not just though the straight numbers of the economic effect. It's the hardship that's being sort of rippling throughout, the challenges that it's posing for small businesses.
Despite the impact the government shutdown is having on local businesses, President Trump continues to push for funding the border wall with Mexico.
The only solution is for Democrats to pass a spending bill that defends our borders and reopens the government.
Congressional Democrats oppose a wall and believe Trump is holding the country hostage to deliver on a core campaign promise. People in the capital city are frustrated by the standoff.
Right now, it's so slow. It looked like it was really dead this morning. No action, nobody around.
Whatever you're asking for, give it to them. Because, you know, at this point, it hurts everybody.
Since the shutdown began in December, some restaurants have been offering free food at a designated time of the day to help furloughed federal employees who are not being paid.
From 6 to 8, government furloughed workers get free pizzas, and I think that's awesome because there's so many people who aren't able to make, you know, ends meet sometimes.
On Saturday, this shutdown becomes the longest in U.S. history. Anna Cook, VOA News, Washington.
Happening now in Asia, Taiwan is upgrading a fleet of American-made fighter jets, but may scrap ambitions to acquire the more advanced F-35 models, showing the limits of U.S.-Taiwan military cooperation despite a common interest of resisting China. The Air Force should get its first four upgraded F-16AB fighter jets in early 2019. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're glad you're starting out your new week with us here at VOA Asia. Natural disasters, including wildfires, hurricanes, floods, all leave their destruction in their wake, as well as thousands of people whose lives are turned upside down. Months and even years later, many are still trying to rebuild. Residents of the island of Hawaii are still assessing damage from the eruption of the Kilauea volcano 8 months ago, as VOA's Jenya Dulo learned on a visit to the Big Island.
May's eruption was Kilauea's 62nd volcanic event in 36 years. One of five active volcanoes on the island of Hawaii, scientists believe Kilauea is dormant again following this latest eruption. The blast in May caused 825 million cubic meters of earth to collapse at the summit crater, sending magma gushing into underground tunnels. Lava flows emerged nearly 20 kilometers away, destroying 700 homes and forcing the evacuation of some 2,000 people. Among them, Herschel Hood, who has lived on the island for 13 years.
It was just a little piece of paradise right there. And it was so nice because it was about 3 miles from the ocean. So I could just drive my bicycle down the road and there was this beautiful ocean. And we had a beautiful organic farm. I mean, I had everything from dragon fruit to citrus trees, five different types of bananas. Everything just grows so good because of our beautiful rain and our beautiful sunshine and our volcanic soil.
After he evacuated, the continuing eruption caused a crack to open up in his backyard. All Hood has left is what he fled with, two cars and duffel bags with clothes and some documents. Now that the three-month-long eruption is over, he needs to rebuild his life. Like other eruption victims, he has received some financial help from the U.S. government, though not enough, he says, to build a new house. Tim Lloyd lived a few kilometers away from Hood. The molten lava did not reach his home, but it essentially cut it off from the rest of the island. Until a new road is built, he cannot move back.
We live on a volcano on an island, and it's active, and it's my perspective, it's part of living here. We have to deal with that, and we know that, but we don't really acknowledge it until it happens. It's impermanent here. Even though I think it's solid, it's not.
But despite the destruction, residents don't want to leave the Big Island. For some Hawaiians, every volcano eruption is an act of God. The goddess Pele, who was worshipped in traditional times, is the creator of the Hawaiian Islands. After all, new lava from every eruption expands the island's shores. Jenya Dulo for VOA News, Island of Hawaii.
Coming up, beautiful cold blocks of ice. You're listening to VOA Asia.
The news never stops, so keep current on your mobile device with VOA News. Just go to m.voanews.com/English for instant, up-to-the-minute news and entertainment. Check m.voanews.com/English on your handheld device for news as it happens. Stay connected with a fast-changing world with m.voanews.com/English.
This news from VOA Asia. Two Reuters journalists in Myanmar lost their appeal against their conviction and 7-year jail sentences. The pair was arrested December 2017 for violating Myanmar's Official Secrets Act. The judge who upheld the conviction said the journalist lawyers did not provide sufficient evidence to prove their innocence. Visit VOA Asia Facebook each day for the latest. This is VOA Asia. As VOA Asia continues each January, the frigid city of Harbin in northern China becomes an icy wonderland as it hosts the largest ice and snow festival in the world. Harbin is one of China's coldest cities, with temperatures that can drop as low as minus 35 degrees Celsius. The annual festival is now in its 35th year and draws millions of visitors annually to enjoy many activities. VOA's Deborah Block tells us about the ice sculpting competition, which features fantastic carvings by artisans from around the world.
Sculptors saw and chisel imaginative designs at the ice sculpting competition. Here, frosty castles spiral into the sunlight as the artisans create magical images from blocks of ice that were pulled from a nearby river. There is also a dragon, rhinoceros, and even a Hindu god. Teams of sculptors come from 16 countries, including Russia, Canada, Spain, Britain, and of course, China.
The name of our piece is Female Warrior. It represents a female leading role in China's Beijing opera. I would like to use this piece to represent Chinese traditional culture.
This Mexican competitor created an ancient Mayan calendar.
The composition is a pyramid and a calendar, a Mayan calendar, with 52 pikes of ice. And because 52 is the cycle number of years for the Mexican ancient calendar.
Carlos Miguel uses an iron to make pillars of ice and shape them into pyramids, a technique he learned from other competitors.
Being in a weather like this one is pretty difficult because we came from a tropical place, so we don't have not even the tools or the ice to practice. So each year is like practicing time for us coming to this competition. We learn and we practice at the same time.
This Spanish sculptor is working on a 2-meter-high block of ice.
And I'm blacksmith, but also I can make these tools and try. And for me, that's really important.
The craftsmanship of all of the pieces are amazing. There's so many talented artists here.
The Harbin Ice and Snow Festival features some of the biggest ice sculptures in the world. They will be on display through February 5th when the festival ends. Deborah Block, VOA News.
This news from VOA Asia. Nissan's former chairman, Carlos Ghosn, has requested his release on bail after being indicted in Tokyo Friday on 2 new charges, his lawyer said, as the once-feted auto executive awaits a lengthy criminal trial that could be as long as 6 months away. All the big stories come your way throughout the day on VOA Asia Facebook. This is VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, over 1 billion people in the world speak English. Another 2 billion are in the process of learning it, or trying to learn it. English grammar horrifies and bewilders many, even native speakers, and one seasoned linguist decided to make it easier, at least for New Yorkers. Grammar guru Ellen Jovan's mission is to help all who need it to make their way through the confusing world of American English. Anna Rice narrates Nina Vishneva's story.
A collapsible table, books, a smile, and a profound knowledge of English grammar. Ellen Jovan has everything that she needs. And the New York subway has a new unofficial stop for grammar lovers.
Hello, welcome to Grammar Table.
Grammar Table. All right. I love it. So. I love it.
Jovan is a lover and popularizer of English grammar. Together with her husband, she owns a business communication development company. Online and traditional classes are her life. Yet, she decided to spice things up and set up camp in the Big Apple's subway and the city streets.
I put the sign up and it took 30 seconds for someone to come up and ask me a question. How many words do I think Donald Trump knows?
While that is more a political question than a grammatical one, Jovan believes understanding the rules of language structure will help people understand each other on the international level.
Vaguer than that, but I have read that a collective noun, is that what you're
calling? Yeah. So it's a special case. We can make special cases, right? Or do you want everything to be consistent?
Students and pensioners, engineers and housekeepers, actors and fellow linguists. The Grammar Table attracts a variety of people for whom English is filled with mysteries. The most popular questions are about participles and commas.
For example, if I say, he ordered salad, spaghetti, and soda, right before the and, you can put a comma if you want in English, and it's called the Oxford comma, or sometimes the cereal comma.
New York subway riders accepted the new girl in town quite easily. Musicians, policemen, and even English teachers often stopped by to chat.
Things like that that deal with language, that deal with culture, it's refreshing from some of the other things that go on.
Not all questions are about English or in English. Jovan speaks Spanish, Italian, Portuguese, German, French, Chinese, Korean, and Japanese fluently, and is learning a few more languages. For Nina Vishnova in New York, Anna Rice, VOA News.
Visitors to the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas have had an interesting look at the latest technology in TVs, computers, smartwatches, and drones. And as we hear from VOA's Michelle Quinn, they also saw examples of how tech can be used to help people around the world become more resilient.
At the Consumer Electronics Show, there's a lot of people trying to connect to the cellular network. Darren Reese is using his firm's technology to send and receive texts via satellite more than 35,000 kilometers away.
So there were 16 disasters in 2017, and if the cell network goes down, everyone is completely disconnected. But satellites will still work. So I have one in my glove box so that if ever there was an emergency or my car broke down and I was out of cell range, I would have peace of mind.
Resilience is a buzzword at this year's CES, with exhibitors in fields such as cybersecurity, disaster preparedness, anti-terrorism, and public alert systems.
So with all the natural disasters that have been happening all over the world, these are technologies that can help you either stay connected or help recover after something takes place.
One example of resilience technology is zero mass water from Arizona. It turns air into water using what looks like a solar panel.
There's also 2 billion people on the planet that don't have access to potable water. So this technology leapfrogs infrastructure and allows people that don't have access to clean water to own their own source of drinking water.
Even in a desert city like Las Vegas, the source hydropanels are able to extract water from the air, similar to how steam from a shower condenses. Then the water is mineralized and stored for when it is needed. Sometimes the technology aims to solve 2 problems at once. That's the case with SolarCal. The South Korean company Yoke wanted to incentivize kids in Kenya to go to school rather than work. Their answer? Offer electricity.
So every morning, student just comes to the school and plug into the SolarCal, and while they're waiting for the fully charged battery, they can study at the class. After the class, they just pull it back and bring it back to the home.
Korean entrepreneurs using clean energy to help to fill African classrooms. Some products at CES are focused on more than the financial bottom line. Michelle Quinn, VOA News, Las Vegas.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. You'll find us on VOA Asia Facebook every day, as well as our website, voanews.com. And you can download our program if you like. If you didn't get a chance to hear the whole thing, no problem. Go get it at iTunes and SoundCloud. You can also hear us on the radio. Falcon Radio at Adamson University in the Philippines carries our program. We say hello to everyone there today who is listening. And we thank our director, Tracy Carter, engineer, Aiden Utku, managing editor, Diane Gao. Our VOA Asia team, that's Skylar Ogden, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Anna Cook. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. Have a nice day.